good to have you here today as we gather for worship. Special welcome to Irene Hoffman, who is our guest pianist today while Marilyn is away. And thank you, Irene, for being here and providing service music, but also special music for us today. Want to special welcome to you, and if you're visiting here, we send a special welcome to you, and want to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in the kitchen, which is right beside the parlor. It's also air conditioned, although it's not too bad in here. The building started getting warm on Friday. I always tell people it takes about 3 days for the heat to get in. It usually takes about 3 days for the heat to get out. So we'll just get it cooled off in time for it to heat up again by the middle of this week. But it's good to have you here, and stay for coffee hour if you'd like to. The back page of the bulletin shows the calendar for this week, which is pretty light. In addition to Bible study on Tuesday, it is Feeding Ministry this coming Friday. We will be doing our summer menu, so therefore we do not need cakes. Those that bake cakes, you get to turn your oven on Friday or Thursday to provide that for us. Also want to point out, underneath the calendar for this week, you'll note that the Social Committee is planning a summer potluck lunch for the last Sunday of this month. We're going to have sandwiches and salads and desserts, so we're invited to bring one of those, and we'll be doing that either in Judson Chapel or on the front porch, depending on the weather. Also, the backpack drive for housing families that we've been announcing, that is on one side of the insert. The hymn is on one side, the final hymn, but also on the reverse side is the list of back-to-school items. The deacons have purchased backpacks for that, and we are encouraged to buy some supplies to go along with that. Also, we received recently a thank you note from Place of Promise in Lowell, Mass., which is one of the mission agencies that we support with our gifts. And Marilyn had asked that I read this to everyone at First Baptist Church. Thank you from all of us at Place of Promise for your contributions to our work. Your generosity allows us to provide food, clothing, shelter, medical care, and the possibility of new life. Our residents are often surprised to learn that their recovery is supported by people they've never met. We are deeply grateful for your participation in this ministry. Sincerely, Kristen, for the resident staff and volunteers. This is one of our newer organizations that we support. We've been doing it a couple of years now. Irene had learned about it, and it is for women, I believe, who are in recovery. Pardon me? Women and men who are in recovery. So that is one of the agencies that we support, and received a gift, obviously, in responding to that. So just wanted to share that with you. So at this time, I invite you to turn in the hymnal to selection number 534 for our responsive call to worship. Responsive reading is a combination of both New and Old Testament scripture verses. So I invite you to read with me responsively from God's holy word as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship. By the grace given to me, I say to every one of you,
be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourself.
Share with God's people who are in need.
Live in harmony with one another.
Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position.
Do not repay anyone evil for evil.
If your enemy is hungry,
feed him.
If he is thirsty,
give him something to drink.
Do not be overcome by evil,
but overcome evil with good.
Seek good, not evil, that you may live. Then the Lord God Almighty will be with you.
Maintain justice in the courts.
O Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts,
turn away your anger and your wrath.
We do not make requests of you because we are righteous,
but because of your great mercy.
O Lord, listen.
O Lord, forgive.
O Lord, hear and act.
We are saved, do not delay, because of you.
We do come as followers of Jesus Christ, as Christians this morning, and our opening hymn is Come All Christians Be Committed, number 544 in the hymnal. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together.
Service of showing mercy to each other, mirrors his redeeming love. In compassion he has given all his love that
is divine. On the cross his life
given, joy and peace are fully thine. Come in praise. Grace and love will you receive. For his grace give him the glory, for the Spirit and the Word. And repeat the gospel story till the world his name has heard.
Let's pray together. Eternal God, as we gather here for worship this day, we pray that you will transform us into the people that you have created us and called us to be. Open our minds to the truth of your care. Open our hearts to the gentle caress of your love. Open our lips to share stories of faith. Open our hands to create beauty, do justice, and show kindness. Open our mouths to sing boldly and loudly your praises, and open our souls to the breath of your Spirit. We ask this all in Jesus' name, and now pray as he taught, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
You may be seated.
we come to the time of sharing our celebrations and concerns before we move into spending a few moments in prayer together, a few requests I want to share, and then I'm going to invite you to share any that you may have. We want to continue to remember Peggy Bloom's granddaughter, Michelle. She continues to be hospitalized at the home, but it's still doing really bad now. So we want to continue to remember her. We want to remember Dorothy Berry and Lana Cooper. They are on their way to New York City today, or New York, not quite in the city, but to visit their sister and brother. It's their brother's birthday, and wanted to go and see him, and so they are traveling there, and we'll be back later this week. So just want to keep them in prayer for their travels and being reunited with siblings and celebrating that together. Jim, we want to keep you in prayer. You're still waiting. You don't have a date yet, but I know you're waiting to hear for Deion's surgery, so I'm going to keep Jim in prayer. Sometimes the waiting is worse than knowing what's going to actually happen. Any update on your brother, Joe? Joe, how's your brother?
He has promised to attend one service because he thanks everybody for their prayers. He's doing well. The tumor has shrunk, which is what their goal was. So he still has to continue with therapy.
And anything about your cousin,
Gerald? Gerald is he's nothing more than...
Still hospitalized?
No, he's out of town.
He's out of hospital. Suffering with stage 4 liver cancer. So we want to keep both David and Gerald in prayer today. Also, want to continue to remember David Tolstrup as well. He's undergoing treatment for cancer. And I didn't talk with May this week, but I did last week. I saw her Monday. And I'm doing okay. Still making some decisions by doctors, deciding on recommendations whether she wants to follow those or not. Still struggling to get enough nourishment because she can't swallow properly. So I want to continue to keep many in prayer. Obviously, we want to keep all the shooting victims this past week. It's in the third nation. It's praying for our country. Do you have any requests for prayer, either celebrations or concerns?
Yeah, I was talking to Beverly, and she wants to know if we can keep her in prayer. She misses everybody.
Yep. Beverly Sandberg is an assisted living,
and so we'll keep her in prayer.
Betty?
I don't know, celebration tomorrow, my granddaughter, Catherine, has a birthday.
Lots of birthdays. I mean, you're talking about people with lots of birthdays this time. Celebration birthday. Looking for an apartment as you're getting ready to go to school, and just a lot of transition going on, and going to a bigger city, and she's finding that. So we'll pray. Anyone else have a prayer request? If not, then let's go to God. If you have some of these requests or some that's on your part, so let's pray together. Lord, we do pray that your Spirit would fall upon us, would bless us, that you would receive our private and collective prayers this morning. Lord, help us to be patient as we await your responses. And Lord, help us to not be like spoiled children and pout if your response is no or not yet. Lord, we just lift our prayers to you and thank you for the privilege that you are a personal God, that you are not a remote God or a distant God that does not care about this creation, but that you have created us in your image and you love us and care for us and loved us so much that you sent your Son Jesus to live among us, to show us a new way, to teach new ways of living, and and ultimately to go to the cross and die for us. Such wonderful love that beyond our understanding, Lord, that he laid down his life for us. We thank you for that. For this day, we lift up those who are ill. We mentioned some by name, some by relationship, others that we've mentioned to you in private, others that we know need our prayers. We just lift them up today, Lord, and pray for healing in their lives according to your will. We know that some are injured, some are ill. Lord, just pray that, you know, whether it's a physical, emotional, or spiritual healing that needs to take place, we pray for your will to be taking place in their lives at these moments. Lord, we thank you that there are men and women who are educated, trained, and skilled to care for us when we need that type of help. We thank you for the equipment and medicine that's been developed over the years and the knowledge to use it wisely. Lord, we just pray today for those that are ill, that they may sense our prayers for them. We pray for those also who are in mourning today, missing a loved one because of the death of their death. Just lift them up to you, Lord, and pray again for your spirit to be with them, that you may comfort them, offer them peace, and help them to know as well that we are holding them in our arms right now and bathing them with our prayers, praying that they may get through this, knowing that we love them and they are loved by you as well. Lord, you are a God constant in our lives. So we know that our lives go through transitions. We pray today for those who are in transition, that are going through moving because of school, a new job, applying for a new job, having lost a job, whatever the reason. We pray especially for Bogota today as she's looking for a new apartment in New York. Just pray that may be she may find a best place for her, that she made wise decisions. Lord, we thank you that you are a constant in our lives as we go through the ups and downs of life, and just that you are always there. Lord, help us as a church family to keep Bogota in our prayers and support her, pray this time to change for her as well. Lord, we thank you for the gift of knowledge and the ability to learn new things. We pray for our students who are on perhaps on summer break right now, but we pray that they the educators will be gearing up very soon to start a new academic year. We thank you for them, Lord. Lord, we just now thank you for your gifts of life, and we are mindful this week of how precious life is. We pray for our nation this day, O God, for all of the shootings that have taken place, the demonstrations that have taken place across our nation. Lord, we just really pray for peace, and we pray for wisdom for those that must make decisions. We thank you for the men and women who have gone into being first responders, being police, fire, emergency personnel. Lord, we know that they are there the moment we call. And yet, Lord, we know that they are all human. The mistakes are made. Lord, we just pray that, you know, those terrible situations that are taking place this week, that there may be justice taking place, that they may find justice and mercy, that both may be in all those situations. We pray especially, Lord, for those five police officers in Dallas who were killed today in the line of this week in the line of duty. Lord, we just lift them and their families up to you now. We pray for peace for them. We ask all of this now in the Prince of Peace, his name, for Jesus Christ. Amen. We've sung together this morning. We've prayed together. We've meditated. Now we have an opportunity of offering our tithes and gifts to show God, you know, all of our thanks and gratitude for all of his blessings. This time, ushers receive the morning offering.
Oh,
pray together. Lord, we do worship and adore you, and through these tithes and gifts, we offer them to you and pray that you would bless them and bless us, that we may share the good news of Jesus Christ, share his love with others, especially those who are hurting today. We ask this in his name. Amen.
Amen.
I invite you to turn and greet those who are standing near you this morning. Dave Latta will be reading scripture this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Parable of the Good Samaritan, Luke 10, verses 25 to 37. A teacher of the law came up and tried to trap Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to receive eternal life?" Jesus answered him, "What do the scriptures say, and how do you interpret them?" The man answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. And love your neighbor as you love yourself." "You are right," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But the teacher of the law wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus answered, "There was once a man who was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when robbers attacked him, stripped him, and beat him, leaving him half dead. It so happened that a priest was going down that road. But when he saw the man, he walked on by on the other side. In the same way, a Levite also came and went over and looked at the man, and then walked on by on the other side. But a Samaritan, who was traveling that way, came upon the man, and when he saw him, his heart was filled with pity. He went over to him and poured oil and wine on his wounds and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own animal and took him to an inn, where he took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Take care of him,' he told the innkeeper, 'and when I come back this way, I will pay you whatever else you spend on him.'" And Jesus concluded, In your opinion, which of these three acted like a neighbor toward the man attacked by the robbers? The teacher of the law answered, the one who was kind to him. Jesus replied, you go then and do the same. These are the words of the Lord.
Thank you, Dave. Let's pray together. Lord, we have just read and heard words that are familiar for many of us, one of Jesus' parables, one of the most beloved. And Lord, at many times we, as in many of Jesus' parables, we try and put ourselves in the parable and place ourselves in each of the characters' roles and wondering what we would do if we were in that situation. Lord, we pray this day that our hearts and minds may be open as we explore this parable of Jesus to have some special inspiration from you that may help us in our daily living. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Have you noticed stickers affixed to the rear of some usually commercial vehicles that ask, how's my driving? With a phone number or a website listed. Perhaps you've seen an offer at the bottom of a receipt from a store or a restaurant. Please complete our survey about your visit today by calling or going to this website. And a phone number or a URL is listed. The rewards offered for our extra work for this response is often a discount on a future purchase or visit or being entered in some sort of sweepstakes. I receive emails from my bank soliciting information about my recent visit to one of the branches. And while we're online at various sites, we often receive pop-up messages asking if we would be willing to answer a short survey at the end of our session to evaluate our experience. The point of all these is that businesses want our opinions. The surveys are all about our experience with the business as customers. Did the host greet us warmly upon our arrival? Were we able to find what we were looking for? When we had questions, were the employees helpful, knowledgeable, and courteous? Did we wait longer than we expected? The questions continue in the survey and on and on and on. And finally, we get to the closing question that appears on just about every survey. How would you rate your overall satisfaction? Everywhere, businesses, organizations, and agencies want us to rate their services. They covet this information because surveys have shown that quality service is the primary factor influencing how much customers trust an organization. A majority, 70% of customers, for example, have said the way they are treated is the basis of their decision to purchase or not. Most people, 55%, also say they are willing to pay a higher price when the service is better. A marketing adage for employees in many companies says, if customers leave without a purchase, you have not failed. But if customers leave without a smile, you have. Not only is good service helpful at acquiring and keeping customers, but service, bad service, can be devastating. Nearly 9 out of 10 people surveyed, 89%, have stopped doing business with a company after receiving bad service. Additionally, we are twice as likely to tell others about bad experience than we are about a good one. This means that the quality of a product doesn't matter much if the business's service is terrible. With this knowledge, companies and agencies have had to rethink how they evaluate what they do. They can no longer simply look inward to products, processes, and profits. They need also and primarily be aware of the experience of their customers. They need to know how well they are serving their customers. That is why we receive so many of those customer satisfaction surveys. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus applied this principle to the lives of his followers. If we are followers of Jesus, Our essential job is to be a server. Unfortunately, until a Samaritan came along, the poor man who had been mugged and left in a ditch along the road didn't have anyone willing to be his server. To retell that story, story one of many that Jesus told, it begins when a religious leader approaches Jesus and asks him how to gain eternal life. Luke lets us know that this is not an honest inquiry. It's a trick. It's a test. Jesus recognizes this and immediately turns the question back on the man, who, being an expert in the religious law, gives the correct answer. This lawyer, however, could not leave well enough alone. Jesus asked him another question. He responded, but he couldn't leave it there. He presses further, asking a follow-up question of Jesus through which he hopes to justify himself, Luke tells us. While the question may sound innocent and innocuous, a close examination reveals Luke's observations. The lawyer is far less concerned about his neighbor than himself when he asks, "Who is my neighbor?" Note his use of first-person pronouns. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Who is my neighbor? Like a company solely asking if its products are good enough, its processes efficient enough, and its profits high enough, the religious leader is asking all me questions. All the world revolves around him. What do I need to do? What don't I need to do? How can I receive the reward of eternal life? Jesus' story of a mugging victim left by the side of the road teaches us that these are the wrong questions. We cannot look only at ourselves. We primarily should be asking how well we are serving others. The question about who qualifies as my neighbor, Jesus turns on its ear. Jesus answered by asking a different question. That's wonderful. Jesus often did that. People would come up to Jesus and ask him a question, and rather than answering it, he would ask them another question. I know as parents we've learned that, as teachers we've learned that. So Jesus comes up with another question. Who acted as the neighbor to the mugging victim? This changes the focus from the neighbor as object to the neighbor as subject. From the one being acted upon to the one doing the action. Many people have wondered why the priest and the Levite crossed to the other side of the road. But Jesus never tells us. At least Luke doesn't include that in Jesus' story. That wasn't the point. That wasn't important. But we can speculate that they may have been concerned about purity laws. Getting too close to the victim may make them ritually unclean and unable to perform their duties in the temple. We might guess that they were in a hurry or too busy with other responsibilities, as so many of us are. Some wonder if they might have been nervous for their own safety on this notoriously dangerous road where someone had just been mugged. Maybe they were burned out from all the charity work they did in their regular jobs. Maybe, we could conjecture, they were biased because the man was poor or didn't look like one of the members of their inner circle. We can speculate, but we don't know. Jesus never tells us, but he does tell us why the Samaritan stopped. Upon seeing the victim lying on the side of the road, stripped and half dead, Jesus tells us the Samaritan felt compassion. The Greek word here literally means moved to the bowels, which we might say he was deeply moved or his soul ached for the man. The Samaritan is focused completely on the needs of the other person. He is a living example of a teaching that Jesus offered at a different time when he said, "Do to others as you would have them do to you." The Samaritan treats the victim as he would want to be treated if he were in the same predicament. After quickly describing the priest and Levite crossing the street, Jesus goes into detail about the Samaritan's actions. He bandages the wounds of the victim using his own oil and wine, which is an unexpected outlay for him. He puts the injured man on his donkey, giving up his vehicle, which is an unexpected inconvenience. He takes the victim to an inn to rest and to heal, which was an unexpected detour. He spends the night treating him, which was an unexpected delay. He then gives the innkeeper money to continue the care, which was an unexpected expense. And then he promises to pay whatever more it costs, which was an unexpected commitment. So how would we rate his service? A smiley face or a frowny face? How do you suppose that victim would rate the service received from this Samaritan? A surprising act of kindness given the traditional animosities between Samaritans and Jews. Of the three, the Samaritan would be the least likely to have been expected to stop and help him. On a scale of 1 to 10, how satisfied do you suppose the victim was with the service received from the priest? What about the service received from the Levite? I would guess that they would have received ones on a survey. They would have received frowny faces, not smiling ones. The victim would not have been very satisfied with the service he received from the priest and the Levite. When Jesus asks which of these three acted as a neighbor, the answer is clear. There's no doubt about it. The point, however, is not simply to recognize good customer service when we see it. Jesus wants the religious leader and us to go and do likewise. He is asking us to make above and beyond the norm of Christian service. So how are we, as the Christian church in general, with Big C, and the First Baptist Church of Malden in particular, doing, if we had to evaluate ourselves? Some churches give customer satisfaction surveys to those who visit and worship with them for the first time. They ask them to rate the coffee and the goodies, the friendliness of the people, the music, the nursery, and heaven forbid, the sermon. Jesus, though, is more interested in our service to mugging victims, to those robbed, stripped, and left by the side of the road. How are we doing in ministering to them? If we ask those standing on street corners holding cardboard signs, or victims of domestic abuse, or those in prison, or the addicts and alcoholics, would they be satisfied with the service they receive from the church? When we consider the victims of racism, sexism, poverty, and the drug epidemic, how would they rate our service? What results would we expect if we handed out satisfaction surveys to those who are closest to us? How would our children, our spouse or significant other, co-workers, and next-door neighbors rate the quality of service and love that they receive from us? Loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself are more than platitudes to include in the mission and vision statements of congregations. They are to be lived every day. We are to love not only with our hearts, but also with our hands and our feet. Like the Samaritan, we are to be moved with compassion to give of our time, our resources, and money to those in the most need. We are called to offer what we have to bring healing to the victims around us. That religious leader of the law came to Jesus wanting to justify himself. He wanted to hear if he was doing enough to get into heaven. We often ask the same question today. Jesus shows us that the attorney was asking the wrong question. Jesus wants him to consider instead if the people in the greatest need would say that he is doing enough. The real proof is in the experience of the customer. What would they say if you asked them to rate your service? The goal, of course, is to offer the same quality of service the Samaritan did when he went above and beyond everyone's expectations, giving what he had to bring healing to one in need. In a day when we are often asked to evaluate the service we receive from restaurants, airlines, hospitals, department stores, and many, many other businesses, may we dedicate ourselves to serving our community with excellence. Because as businesses know, no matter how great the product you are trying to share, if the service is lousy, no one is buying. Thousands of people across our nation in recent days have expressed their satisfaction and dissatisfaction with situations in their communities and across this country. Some have been demonstrations against what they view as police brutality based on race. Others have been gatherings to show support for the service the police provide in their communities, especially after the massacre in Dallas. In all of these situations, the people are participating in customer surveys, expressing satisfaction and dissatisfaction for the service they perceive that they are receiving. So as we reach out to others, may we pause to consider our motivations for doing so. Author Rachel Naomi Remen once said, "Helping, fixing, and serving represent three different ways of looking at life. When you help, you see life as weak. When you fix, you see life as broken. When you serve, you see life as whole. Fixing and helping may be the work of the ego," she writes, "and service, the work of the soul." May we follow Jesus' instructions and example and not just help or try to fix others, but serve them in Jesus' name. Let's pray together. For there are so many situations in which we find ourselves when we're not sure what we can do. We oftentimes know or think we know what we should be doing. But for whatever reason, whether it's time, money, energy, resources, whatever it is, we decide to do something else. Lord, we hear again this morning your call to be servants, to follow your example and your teaching. Lord, we realize that we live in a dangerous world, and at times that may mean sticking our necks out. We might be in danger ourselves. But Lord, we pray that through your wisdom, that you may impart that to us and guide us as we are called and challenged to reach out to others, to serve in Jesus' name, to share his love, so that we are not trying to help people or just fix them, but we are trying to serve them. Lord, we ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is printed on the insert in the bulletin, "Who is My Neighbor?" Down to heal and restore. This week we will encounter needs all around us. There will be people who are hurting, lonely, tired, and sick. Will we be a neighbor to them? Will we have eyes to see them? Will we have ears to stop and listen? Will we have the humility to kneel down, pick them up, and carry them to safety? Let us go now filled with the love of Jesus, and may his compassion flow through us to care for the needs of those whom we meet this week. Amen.